The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 720 in your pew Bibles. And we read Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They despise the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. This is the word of the Lord. The gospel is found in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 23. It's found on page 1130. And we read Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the elders of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for the insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." They were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And the voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of the women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel lesson for today and the words of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is our text. Recently, one of my fellow pastors in our circuit, as he was teaching confirmation class, accidentally bumped one of his students in the arm with a book. And as he did so, he said to the student, I'm sorry. And the student said, that's okay. Not long thereafter, he again bumped the student in his shoulder with the book, a little harder this time. And he said to him, I'm sorry. And the student said to him, that's okay. A little while later, he bumped him again in the shoulder with the book. He said to the student, I'm sorry. The student said, it's okay. A fourth time, he bumps the student in the shoulder with the book. And the student looked at him and said, why are you keeping on hitting me in the shoulder with your book? Probably not that loud to the pastor, but the pastor said, well, you keep on telling me it's okay. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The words of forgiveness are becoming like a foreign language in our culture. Not used very often and sometimes not even understood. Another incident shared with me recently by one of our members who happens to be a teacher. Several years back, the same thing happened to him. As he was teaching class, there was a conflict in the class between two students. He stepped in to resolve the conflict. He got the one student to say, I'm sorry. And then there was this long pause. This has now happened to him twice, a couple of years apart. And he looked at the student who had been apologized to, and he said, and what do you say? And after thinking about it for a few more seconds, in both instances, the student said, you're welcome. Father, forgive them. Those were the first words of our Lord and Savior from the cross. And quite appropriately, because that is the primary work that he came to accomplish. Oh, he performed many miracles through the course of his ministry, feeding people, healing them. He did much teaching through the course of his ministry. But you know, what he taught was nothing actually new. It was something very old. A lot of people would sum up what Jesus taught by saying, well, he taught people to love your neighbor as yourself. But those words didn't first cross the lips of Jesus. There are the words of God to Moses recorded in Leviticus chapter 19 in the Old Testament. It's not what Jesus taught. It's not the miracles that he performed that truly define what his ministry was. It was his work on the cross. Dying not because there was some guilt within himself. Even Pilate and Herod had figured that out. But dying because God is a just God. Justice demands punishment for wrongs that are committed and for the sins of the world. Somebody had to pay. But God is not just a just God. He is a merciful God as well. And knowing that it was impossible for us to pay that price for our sins, to satisfy his own justice, he determined to pay the price himself, sending his own son into this human flesh of ours to bear the burden that our human flesh couldn't bear. And as God, to pay the price that no mere human being could pay. As a son of God, he paid for the sins of the world. And as the son of God, he conquered death that no mere man could conquer. And then he gave that blessing of forgiveness and life to the world, expecting only that we receive that gift and rejoice in it. As he is being lifted on that cross, his first words define his ministry and ours as well. Father, forgive them, even if they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. He just doesn't feel it in his heart. He calls it out that those around him may know what he's giving, even if they don't want it. And that is the ministry that defined what Jesus did and defines the ministry that we also should do. But how common is that word amongst us? How often do we actually use it? I'd be willing to bet that somebody's wronged you in the last month at least. Probably in the last day, probably within the last hour. And when they wronged you, did you tell them that they were forgiven, or did you just say, that's okay? There's at least one pastor in the circuit, you should never do that too. You know, I'll bet if you went up to most people, particularly those that aren't in church on a regular basis, and asked them to tell you what's important about Jesus, how many do you think of those people you know who, again, aren't in church on a regular basis, would start out their answer to that question with the word forgiveness? I'll bet not many. They might talk about how good Jesus was, how he taught such high principles about love and peace, but forgiveness, would that be the centerpiece of their answer? When you listen to people, And when you hear somebody respond to an apology with, "You're welcome," I got a sneaking suspicion that they don't get what Jesus was really about. And it is our task as Christians to make what Jesus was about clear to the world. But how can we do that if we don't talk about forgiveness either? If when someone wrongs us, we just say, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Forget it. No harm, no foul. And a thousand other expressions we use. But not using that one word that was so critical to understanding the work of our Lord for us. Forgive shouldn't be a foreign language to us. With all the sin that is in the world and around each and every one of us, it should be a word that's frequently on our lips. When we wrong others, don't just say, "I'm sorry." Ask for their forgiveness. And when others wrong you, don't just say, "That's okay." Ask for their forgiveness or forgive them. Because that's what it's really all about. The life that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes about because sins are forgiven through his death and resurrection. Let us put that word back into our language, offering it to others and asking it of others when we sin against them. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.